Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, the real temptation is when he said, "If you are the Son of God." He was trying to get Jesus to prove who he was outside of what God had said. The Lord had just spoken to him and said, "This is my beloved Son." He had God's opinion. But Satan was trying to get him to say, "If you are really the Son of God, prove it. Turn this stone into bread." That was the temptation. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Think about this. Do you think Jesus was tempted with cocaine? Do you think Jesus was tempted with getting put out and carnal in rush hour traffic? Do you think Jesus was tempted with the stress of modern day life? Do you think Jesus was tempted with the same problems that people who are married are tempted with because he wasn't married? What does it mean he was tempted in all points? If you just peel back the layers of temptation and get to the root of it, there's really only three things. 1 John chapter 2 says, and I forget the exact verse, it's around 12 or something like that. It says, "For all that is in the world," all that is in the world, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of God, but are of the devil." There's only three ways that Satan can tempt you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Adam and Eve had three things when they saw the tree. That was the lust of the eyes. And saw that it was good for food and a tree to be desired to make one wise. There was three areas. Jesus was tempted in these three areas. There were three temptations of Jesus. The temptation really wasn't to turn the stone into bread. The temptation was to doubt what God had spoken to him. God had said, "This is my beloved Son." And you know, some people again haven't gone here and they hadn't thought through these things. But Jesus did not come out of the womb speaking Hebrew. Jesus was not a full functioning adult with full understanding in his brain when he was one day old or when he was still in the womb. His mind didn't function any better than a one day old baby functioned. He had to learn who he was. There came a time when, I don't know exactly how it happened, maybe it was through Mary telling him that, "Jesus, you aren't really Joseph's son. You were virgin born. You are God. You are the Word of God." An angel supernaturally implanted the Word of God. And there was a time that he learned that he was God. And he had to accept it. And he went to the Word, and I'm sure that the Holy Spirit bore witness and told him. But you know what? Jesus had to believe with his carnal brain. Now his heart knew it, because he was Lord at his birth, is what the angel said. Go see Christ, the Lord. He was born Lord. He didn't grow up and become Lord. He was Lord at birth in his spirit, but his physical body was not Lord. It was human. It wasn't sinful human, but it was human. It had to learn. Jesus had to learn to control his bowels. I'm sure the first time Jesus tried to feed himself, he smeared it all over his face. I'm sure that he had to walk and fell down. He had to crawl before he walked. Jesus had to learn. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus increased in wisdom. He wasn't automatically all-knowing and perfect in his mind. As a matter of fact, Jesus groaned in the Spirit when he raised Lazarus from the dead in the 11th chapter of the book of John. And you can read in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself helpeth us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The reason you groan in the Spirit is to help when you don't know how to pray. Jesus didn't know exactly how to get Lazarus raised from the dead. And he groaned in the spirit and made intercession to help him over his natural self. It wasn't sinful self, but it was natural self. And the natural mind could not wrap its brain around a person who had already been dead for 4 days and had started decaying, coming back to life. You can't do that in the natural. You have to do it in the supernatural. And Jesus groaned in the spirit to get past his flesh. Jesus had to accept that he was God by faith. It was possible for him to doubt that he was God, or Satan would never have come and said, "If you are the Son of God, do this." That would have been wasted. Some people think, well, Jesus was God. He was God, but he was also man. It was possible for him to be tempted and to fail, or this would have been reduced to where it was no temptation at all. This was a real temptation. And the scripture again says in Hebrews chapter 4 that he was tempted in all points, like as we are yet without sin. Amen. Jesus was tempted. I don't think he was tempted with hunger near as much as he was tempted to do something to prove that he was really God. It was an identity test. And this is how Satan tempts us. Jesus was tempted in every way that you're tempted, but not tempted with the same specific things. Satan might have a different package and a different wrapper and a different bow on it. But there is no temptation that takes us but such as is common to man. This is why some people come and say, "Well, you haven't been through what I've been through. You can't deal with it." There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. "Oh, but you've never had this happen to you." There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. The moment you think, that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. The moment you think that you have a unique situation, then that allows you to just discount all of the instructions that I share with you from the Word of God, because after all, you're different. You're the exception. And you've already fallen into a lie and a ploy of the devil. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common, not just to a few people, but common to all men. We're all tempted with the same thing. Jesus was tempted exactly the way you and I are tempted, to doubt who he was, to doubt these things. And Satan said, "If you be the Son of God." How did he know whether he should or shouldn't respond to this? You know how he did it? He responded by saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus used the word to discern. Was this a godly desire? Was this a godly thing he was being asked to do, or was it an ungodly thing? And he used the word of God to split and divide between the soul and the spirit. And he used the word of God to show that this was a carnal thing. It was something about him trying to establish his identity outside of what God had said about him. And again, if I had time, I could minister on this and show you that Jesus went through this same thing. And he used the word of God 3 different times. "It is written. It is written. It is written." Did you know Jesus was God? Jesus could have said boo to the devil, and that would have been scripture. He was the Word. Why did he go back and quote from Old Testament scripture? You know, for a long time that used to bother me, and I said, he could have said anything. He could have said, "I said so," and that would have made it fine because he was God. Why did he go back and quote Old Testament scripture? And the Lord spoke to me because the Word is so powerful and it is settled forever, it's eternal, that Jesus in all of his glory and majesty couldn't improve on what was already written. It was as good as it got. He didn't need to say anything other than what was written in the Word. What was written in the Word was enough to defeat anything that the devil wanted to do. Jesus was the Word and he was completely consistent, and he just used the same Word that you and I have. And he used it as a sword of the Spirit against the devil. And he also used it to divide between soul and spirit and tell, was this a godly desire or was this a sinful desire? Yeah. You know, there's so many scriptures on this. Let me just share one here out of Psalms chapter 37. Look at this verse. I hesitate to share this because this is really only if you are seeking God with all of your heart. And if you aren't seeking God with your whole heart, you could get into a lot of trouble with this scripture. This is prefaced upon you got to be seeking God. So let me just tell you already that if you aren't seeking God with all of your heart, this isn't for you. Don't listen. So everybody will listen. But look at this. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Man, those are some great scriptures. Look at this fourth verse. "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." This is traditionally interpreted as, oh man, this is a great promise. You know what I desire? I desire a brand new Cadillac. I desire my neighbor's house. I desire my neighbor's wife. I desire to become the head and CEO of the business. And whatever I desire, God's going to give me the desires of my heart. This isn't saying that God will satisfy all of your lust. That goes against everything else. Now see, this would be an example of a person reading the Bible with just their brain and not letting the Spirit balance it to where there's other scriptures, like for instance James chapter 4, where it says you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. The scripture makes it very clear that if you are just asking a carnal desire so that you can consume it on your own lust, God's not going to grant that.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM237 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep gospel truth on this station Monday through Friday.
I know that many of you are getting your life changed through these little programs, and it's just making a huge impact. Could you imagine what it would be if you were to sit under the teaching of God's Word like this 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for 2 years? You know, that's basically what our Bible college is. And it's even enhanced because it's not just me teaching. You get other powerful ministers that come through. And you also get mentoring, personal mentoring. We spend a lot of time with our students. So I would like to encourage you that if you would like to go deeper and further, you need to get involved in our Charis Bible Colleges. There's many ways to take advantage of that. If you'd called, they'll share with you about how you could join today.